This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
It's just to remain in a place of worship, and I just want to read Psalm 100 to us this morning. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. Thank you, Lord God, that You are daily bread, Lord God. And Father, that we can worship You this morning, Lord God, that You are the eternal King, Lord, that You are our Savior and our Redeemer, Lord God. And Father, that we can just be honest with You this morning, Lord God, that Father, that we don't have to hide anything from You, Lord God, that You know our hearts and our minds, our lives, Lord God, that You see everything about us, Lord God. And Father, this morning, this second last day of the year, Lord God, we just want to give praise to Your name, Lord God. Lord, where can we start to say thank You, Lord God, that You are so good to us, Lord God. Father, we just want to enter this morning into a place, Lord God, a deep place, Lord, of just worshiping Your holy name, Lord God, declaring Your goodness, Lord God, Your mercies, Your grace, that You are slow to anger, Lord God. Father, that You chose us first, Lord God, and that from generation to generation, Lord God, that we can see Your love, Lord God, that You don't change, Lord God, that You stay the same, Lord. And, oh, Father, we just want to embrace Your love this morning, Lord. Father, we thank You for Your goodness, Lord. And I just sense in my heart, in my spirit, as we were worshiping here, that there are some of us carrying heavy loads, that some heavy stuff on our shoulders. Maybe your mind is racing. Maybe you're thinking about a lot of things right now that's really making you tired, or you're trying to figure out a lot of things. And just see this picture of Psalm 23, where the Lord just want to take you for a moment to that green pastures, to a safe place, a place of just feeding you and taking care of you and saying to you, in a sense, to keep quiet, to be at rest, to look at Him and not trying to make your own plans so hard and trying to work for that breakthrough so hard, but just to look to Him. Just to give over this morning. Say, Lord, lift me up, Lord. I pray for every heart that might be heavy this morning. Every person battling with God knows what, that we can bring it to You, Lord. That nothing is too big or too heavy or too hard for You. That You are Heavenly Father, Lord. And that we can rest in You, especially on this morning, Lord. All glory and praise to Your name. Amen. Amen. Welcome here. Thank you, Freddie and Karin and all of you, Saki, the team. Good to see all of you again. And as we were worshiping this song, it just took me back to that first months of my own salvation, being a Stellenbosch student then, Stellenbosch University. I think we've got one or two of them here this morning. And I just remember listening to this song. Freddie, what's the name of this song? The last one. This is the air that I breathe. And many of you will know what tapes were. It had a side A and a side B, and it had some of them were a 60, and some of them had a 90, so some of you might not know what it was. But in my early days, one of the guys in my class, I remember, he gave me a tape, and this song was on that tape. And I remember I listened to that song so many times, and it just brings back so many beautiful memories of that first time there in our church in Stellenbosch when I was a young Christian and I didn't know anything about nothing and just growing in God. And I remember the end of that year trying to fast for the first time and almost thought I'm going to die. But there's so many thoughts that's coming back And I just felt that the Lord, to some of us, especially this morning, want to say, just rest this morning. Just come to that place of safety. Don't all that things in your mind and heart that's hot, that is running around and making you tired. God, it really wants us to give it to Him this morning and to rest in Him. So I'm the lucky guy. I'm a privileged person in many ways. And for some reason, for the last 3 years, I get the last sermon of the year. And I rejoice in that. Carol says yes, because she's in church every time. So 2017, 18 this year. I don't know what's going to happen next year. But it helps me to keep focused. I love that. Many times during the holiday, we tend to switch off and do some other stuff. And that's awesome. I hope all of you have spent good time with family and friends and that you rested, but that you also spent good time in the Word. That's always my heart. And I just see so many new faces here this morning. People probably, I just want to, by a show of hands, if you don't live in Swakopmund and you're from another town visiting here this morning, our church just want to welcome you. Can I see who are here from other towns? It's a lot of people. It's almost half of you. We just want to say a warm welcome to all of you. We trust that you enjoy our cool weather here in Swakopmund. I've been a little bit away to family in South Africa, and man, I just love Swakopmund more and more. It's just a cool place in many ways, and I'm the guy who said I will never live in Swakopmund. So I just love Swakopmund. Thank you, Lord, for sending me to this place. So welcome to all of you. It's really awesome to have you here, and I know, I assume a good shepherd should know his sheep, and I see a lot of other sheep, and I just want to say to you, it's awesome to have you here this morning. I want to start, and I want to read a quote to you and just keep our minds focused, because we can rest from a lot of things during the holidays, but we should spend our time in the Word. So I just want to read a quote from Grant Osborne. It will be here on the screen as well. It says, "There's no greater privilege or joy than studying the Word of God when we realize that God loved us enough not only to send His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins, but also cared enough for us to give us His revealed truths and challenge and guide our lives. We are amazed at how little we deserve and yet how much He has done for us." And that's a revelation that I just love so much. I believe it's a privilege and a responsibility for all of us to study God's Word as careful as we can. And I want to encourage you to invest in your own knowledge and resources and to dig deeper into God's Word, especially during the holiday times. I did a lot of reading the past 2 weeks just because I have a little bit less duties during the holiday time. And we know that the deeper we dig, the more riches we find in God's Word. Amen? Anybody been doing that? Thank you, Lionel. I appreciate that a lot. So those of you who know me and can discern something, I'm already starting with Bible School Marketing 2019. Amen? So that's the right place to start. Another quote from Craig Keener from Spirit Hermeneutics. He says, "All Christians should read Scripture as people who are living in the biblical experience, not just in terms of ancient culture, but as people living by the same Spirit who guided God's people in Scripture." And that's just something I love about God's Word. When we read about Moses or Noah or Aaron or whoever, Amos, any biblical figure, Paul, Peter, Luke, we can have an expectation that we aren't just studying ancient culture and what happened there 2,000 or 3,000 years ago, but that it's the same God and the same Spirit that is also leading us, also changing our lives from one degree to another. And that is something I'm just so passionate about. I just love the fact that I didn't become a Christian and I stayed the same. I just got a new religion. But that God changed me, and He keeps on changing me. And very often, the Spirit reminds me how much I still need to change. Hallelujah. After 10 years in ministry, I still know there's a lot of changing I need to do. I need to reflect on this holiday, and I need to say, God, but where did I get some things maybe wrong? Or the Holy Spirit is faithful in helping us especially, and I think here right at the end of the year, it is such a wonderful time for us to celebrate and say, thank you, God, for 2018, the testimonies, all the wonderful things that we experience as a church family, as believers, and I believe everyone visiting here this morning, the local churches that you belong to, I'm sure that you experience God's grace and mercies also so much, and I'm looking forward to 2019, and I say, God, I've got things I'm trusting you for, I've got expectations, my own family, my own household, by usually this time of the year, we sit with the children and as our household, and we say, God, we trust you for these things. We sat with our children, and we explained to them it's not just a glorified gift, a wish list for presents or stuff, but stuff that we as a family, we really trust God for. And I want to encourage you to do the same. And I can testify over the past years how faithful God has been in giving many of those things to us. Not just giving us, blessing us, giving us so much more. Because He's our Father. He loves us so much. And I just love the fact, as I said, that I'm not the same person I was last year or 5 years ago or 10 years ago. God is continually working through His Spirit in our lives, changing us, working us, molding us to become more like Jesus Christ. Amen. So I love to study Paul, and I'm just so thankful God gave us so many riches through the writing of Paul the Apostle. And something I'm just currently studying and reading about is, you know, Paul's approach to transform thinking. And just going back, Freddie, I thank you for that song, or the Holy Spirit for that song, just as we were worshiping, taking me back to there at the end of 2002 when I was a young believer, and God radically transforming my life. And I believe most of you probably can testify how God has changed your life. Maybe changed your marriage, your relationships, and your core. The way I thought about marriage, the way I thought about relationship, about money, about fasting, about serving, about giving previously, and how I think about it after 10, 15 years, it's not the same. The Holy Spirit is continuously helping us. And those things that seemed impossible to me, to tithe, to serve, to be humble, many of those things you might maybe think of your own context. I can just say thank you, God, for changing me, for changing my mind and the way I think about church. I would never come to church on the second last day of the year. It's boring, okay? I want to do other stuff. But now it's priority. I'm actually thankful. It's not a work for me. It's not my job. It's a privilege. It's my heart to preach this morning. Because as Paul writes, my mind has been changed. The way I think about stuff. So I'm just going to give you a quick layout and 6 points. Maybe if you have time, hopefully you've got some time. If you're not on holiday right now, we will pray for you afterwards that you can run the race with endurance. But this morning, I want to share 6 points, and I'm not going to look at all of them. Just where Paul is writing about our minds and about change. He starts there in Romans chapter 1. He talks about the corrupted mind and how the Gentiles, the minds are debased and corrupted. And basically, Paul writes there in that first chapter how they exchange the truth for a lie. Go and read that portion in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to 32. Then he continues, and Paul writes about the mind of the Spirit in Romans chapter 8, that powerful chapter there in the center of the Romans. He writes about one of my favorites, a renewed mind, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. I'm so thankful that after salvation, after we are born again, filled with His Spirit, and the Holy Spirit starts to work, He renew our minds. Is it something that just happened there on the first day of salvation? Or is it something that continues throughout our lives? All the time. None of us are perfect. None of us are totally sinless or holy. Paul continues in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and he writes about the mind of Christ. So he started with the corrupted mind. He continues. He talks about in chapter 8, the mind of the Spirit. He goes on to the renewed mind, Romans chapter 12, the mind of Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Then he writes about a Christ-like mind in Philippians chapter 2, 3, and 4. And then also the heavenly mind in Colossians chapter 3. So Paul was a guy who was thinking. I think Paul was a very intelligent person. Paul had a gift to write. He was filled with the Spirit. God chose him to be an apostle. His life was there in Damascus Road. He was powerfully transformed. And we know that Paul had an issue with any mind that wasn't led by the Holy Spirit. Paul was a spirit man. Paul was a man who loved the Holy Spirit, experienced it so powerfully in his own life. That is what energized and propelled him to write, plant churches, go on missionary journeys. I almost want to say to die a few times and to be raised again, to travel, to love, to write letters to churches that he planted. That was the heart of Paul. For Paul, there was basically two contrasting models in life. Being conformed to this present age, or being transformed in connection with the new age in Christ. We can either conform to this current world, live like this world. And I remember when I was a high school boy or student, we all just wanted to be the same in a sense. Just conforming. If there was a new word that I'm seeing my kids as they are growing up, they bring words to home. Where's the parents, you know? I remember sometimes we came to home and there I used language and then my dad said, but what does that mean? This weird language that high school boys, I don't know, create or use. And now I see this type of language, something sometimes come to my own house. And then we have to see, we don't want to be conformed to this world, but we want to be transformed, okay, to the image of Christ and everything that is Christ-like. Romans chapter 12, verse 3, I'm not going to read the scripture, but a quote, it says, a renewed mind then evaluates matters of this age in the light of the coming age, valuing God's opinion rather than the world, and valuing what counts eternally. We want to live by eternal values. We've got this tension about the already and the not yet. We see God's kingdom coming in our church, in our town, in our own lives, but we know Jesus hasn't come back yet. So there's a little bit of the kingdom, but Jesus hasn't come back. There's this tension that we have right now. We can pray, there's the spiritual gifts, but Christians can still sin. I'm not going to ask that question, who has sinned the past month or anything like that. That will be bad, pastor. But nevertheless, and I just love this thing that we can hold before us and that the Holy Spirit is so faithful to help us to live right now, but with eternal values. That we say once in eternity, those things, when the kingdom is consummated, okay, those are the values and the morals and the everything that we want to live by. So this morning, please make some time. You can mail me or phone me or anything. I can give those scriptures to you if you want to. Go and read a little bit about Paul and the mind. As I said, he was a man that was thinking a lot, writing a lot about the mind as well. And I just want to study one of those passages. Otherwise, the scar boat or the chicken in the oven will probably burn. We can't look at all of them. It's really deep and it's really something to dig into. And I just want to encourage you, if you feel led, to go and study that a little bit. I'm just going to look for us, something I felt for us as a local church as well this morning. I'm just going to look our key text for this morning, Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. A beautiful part of scripture. It continues from verse 6 to 11, where it says the hymn of Jesus. Many scholars said it was a hymn that was sang early in the early church. I've got no idea what the tune setting or something like that would be. But let's read from Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, and it says, you can follow with me up there on the screen. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Amen. Powerful, challenging, portion of scripture that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. He was actually in jail in Rome while he was writing this piece. And the church in Philippi was probably a very special church to Paul. It was the first church that he planted in Europe. We know that the first convert there was a lady named Lydia. She sold purple goods, material and stuff like that. And Paul wanted to encourage the church. He loved this church. We know there wasn't probably a lot of division or issues. He really wrote this letter to encourage them. He writes a lot about joy, and you can see that theme very often there. Paul wants to encourage the Philippians to live out their lives of citizens of a heavenly colony. Colony. Say it like that, probably. What is the German translation? Maybe Manfred goes like that. I don't know. He doesn't know. But nevertheless, he wants, in a sense, almost say, colony. Just come and stand next to me. I come and help me with that. He wants to say, this is a heavenly group of people living by heavenly principles right here in the world, that people could see their testimonies. Okay? So Paul writes to them. And he starts there, the first in verse 1, we're going to break it down and look a little bit about it this morning. He says, so if there is any encouragement in Christ. Now, Paul uses a conditional sentence, that word if, you know, it's almost like saying to the children, if you finish your meal and eat all your vegetables, you might have some ice cream. Okay, there's a bit of a condition there. Paul uses a conditional sentence with the word if to provoke the Philippians so that they will reflect on whether these qualities are evident in their lives. So they were the first audience, the first group of people that Paul wrote to. But it's also for our church. We know that scripture isn't just for them in the there, but it's for us in the here and the now as well. And it's not just to this building here in 139 Anton Lebowski Street. It's for you, Manfred, and for you, Christine, Mark, for all of you, for Norbert and Bruna, and for me, Carl, to evaluate in our own lives, how do we measure up against what Paul is writing? Because if you look at this, I remember I was talking about high school, and we had a thing, you know, I don't know, I'll, my kids are still primary school, but I remember we had a saying at a time, daar was hoërgraad en standaardgraad vakke, high grade and standard grade, you know. And I remember when something was really tough or difficult or amazing, we said, hey man, that's high grade. That's high grade stuff. Now this is higher grade stuff for our hearts to be in line with what Paul is writing. Okay, I said it's a bit conditional. So I want to make a quick interruption. And I want to read something totally unrelated, but also related. So I don't want to commit suicide in a sense from a preaching point of view, but just before I went on holiday about 10 or 12 days ago, I was studying and I was reading in the book of Amos, and there was something that I just can't shake, something that I'm just seeing in my mind's eye all the time, and maybe it will help you a little bit. And I believe scripture is always calling, God is always calling back his people back to a standard, not the world's or anything like that, but to his standard, his morals, his value, the leading of his spirit. I want to read to you from Amos chapter 7, verse 7. And it says, this is a picture. It says, then he showed me another vision. I saw the Lord standing beside a wall that had been built using a plumb line. He was using a plumb line to see if it was still straight. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? So this morning, if you are comfortable, put your own name there. I'll put my name. I've written it in there. Carl, what do you see? And I, or Amos, responded, a plumb line. And the Lord replied, I will test my people with this plumb line. So, Ed and John, you can just go to that picture for everyone who doesn't know what a plumb line is. It's some built or used in the building industry still today. It was this little rope with a weight at the bottom to see if you were building straight. Who of you have used something like that? 5 people. Awesome. You've built something in your life. Congratulations. That is wonderful. But it was on my left hand or your left hand picture. You will see it was just a very simple thing used to see if a wall was straight. The little picture on the right hand side is not a joke, but it's just an animation about Amos standing there in a sense, and almost Israel always seemed to get it wrong. You know, when we read there through 1st and 2nd Chronicles or 1st or 2nd Kings, we see this whole repetition of the king serving and then his son doesn't serve God and then there's judgment and people coming back. But there for us, we also have the scripture in Isaiah 28 verse 17, more or less the same theme. It says, I will test you with the measuring line of justice and the plumb line of righteousness. Okay? Now, if you do a bit of research and a background study, it seems that the Hebrew word plumb line is a bit disputed among scholars, the exact meaning, etc. But we know from Scripture, as I see in Isaiah, that always that we need to see if we are in line. We can't bend anything in church, anything in the Word, anything in the Gospel to fit what we want it to be. We must get in line with God's Word, with His plumb line. And I think right here at the end of the year, as we are saying goodbye to 2018 and we are looking forward to 2019, I believe it's really a good time for us to just stand still and to see a biblical plumb line, like the picture up there, and to say, Lord, my own life. We're talking maybe in the bigger picture context this morning of transformed thinking, the mind of Christ, the mind of the Spirit. Where are we regarding as individuals, but also as church? Regarding God's plumb line, as in Amos or Isaiah. One of my favorite scriptures, 2 Timothy 3:16, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says it a little bit different than some other translations, but the same message. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us, and I love the way it says, make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Anyone perfect here? Anyone totally holy, man, I would love to learn from you how you get to that place. Because Scripture tells me we will only become like that when Christ Jesus comes back for His church. There's always some area in our own lives where we have to be humble, where we have to be teachable. Say, God, I need more grace. I need more Holy Spirit in this area of my life to become like Christ. So, Back to Philippians. So keep the plumb line, keep the measuring line in your mind. May it be God's Word, may it be the Holy Spirit that helps us to be in line with our growth process or to be measure us against what Jesus Christ was. As I said, back to Philippians, I'm reading verse 1 and 2 for you once again. It says, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and any sympathy, complete my joy. Bye. Okay, so Paul is writing this church. He says, you will really make me happy. Complete my joy. My joy. And then he says, by the following. Okay, that is almost the what to do. Was for the church in Philippi, but I believe it's for us as well. Aaron John, you can go to the next slide. I made a comparison there between the New Living Translation and the English Standard Version. You can just go and see if you can find it there. I'm sure it's there. You can have a moment. But the two translations use different language basically to say the same thing. You don't find it there. Okay, next one, there we go. Okay, Paul says there, then make me truly happy, that's the New Living Translation, the ESV says, complete my joy. So Paul is writing, he has this pastor, almost like a father, he was the planter of that church, the church planter, and he says, you will make me really happy by doing the following, by. And then I will read it to you. Let's look at what the NLT says. He says, by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and one purpose. Dis woordgraat, né? I think so. Are we there completely as a church, in our marriages, in our families? The ESV says it a little bit different. It says, complete my joy by what? It says by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and one mind. Now, what does the church look like? What does the small group look like? What does the marriage look like where we can say we are agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and one purpose. Now, here's the thing. If we just had a lot of different minds, and praise God we have, we are the body, we've got different parts, different gifts, etc. Okay? But to get to the same page, it can only be through being born again in Jesus Christ, being filled with the Holy Spirit. We were in Mossel Bay visiting my family, my wife's family there, and it was so nice to go with my swarkie and my squint sister, to go with them to their church. After they are new believers going to their church, and I just thought it's just a shofar church in another blanket. And that's perfectly cool. That's a Bible-believing, spirit-filled church. And how on earth can one church that's 2,500 kilometers from the other one almost be the same church, having the same heart, the same mind, almost the same vision? Why? Because it's a Bible-believing church where people are filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe the color of the form, Karine, where's Karine? Form and function, we love that conversation. Maybe the form, the functions are the same, but the form, the color of the walls, the size of the worship team, the pulpit, the guy behind the pulpit, those things can be different, okay? But if the Spirit is the same, we will be on the same page. And if we want to say amen and yes as a church, as a small group, as husband and wife, to these things that Paul is writing, it cannot be by saying yes out of the flesh, because he writes there about the corrupted mind in Romans chapter 1. That's just a mess. But when we receive the Spirit of God, it can be possible to be on the same page as Paul writes here. And he says, church, you will complete my joy if you walk in this. And I believe, let's hold the plumb line in front of us today. Let's hold the plumb line and say, God, where do I fall short? Am I there 40%, 60%? Let's say, God, Holy Spirit, help me in this new year to be on the same page as what Paul wanted his church that he loved so much and he planted to be. I want to encourage us, you know, these values, I believe, is it just for the church? Should we be just like that in a church context? I believe we can take it to our families, our marriages, our workplaces. Amen? Amen. Good. Then he continues in verse 3, and he says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but, now just if you don't read the English Bible that often, conceit, it's pride in oneself, or a state of valuing your own contribution too much. That's not a biblical value. Paul says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. Okay. Then he says, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interests of others. Once again, I want to say, hoorgraad, higher grade. Is that a value that is just natural to all of us as humans? Anyone has kids in the home? Any kids fighting about who's getting the most ice cream or who's always, there's always a fight about something, the one gets more love or more, hy word meer geskel, or there's an issue about this or about that or about, I don't know what, okay? Paul writes and he says, don't look just at your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Even in the church, Paul isn't writing here to a group of unbelievers. He's not writing to the world. He's writing to the church. And he's saying, guys, be on the same page. Complete my joy. Have one mind. Have the mind of Christ. But also, do things in humility. Nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Maybe we should put that at four-way stops. Okay? Who has been to Mossel Bay or Hartenbosch in this time of the year? Man, you just see people breaking this thing all the time. Now it's my turn to drive. Now it's yours and everyone just breaking all the rules. That heart, should these values only be in a small group context, only in a church setting? Or should we take it to our workplaces, to our families, to our marriages? Wife, husband, okay? Okay, these things are only possible when we are transformed in our minds, in our thinking, in our values, okay? There's no way in the natural we will get to the same page, okay? Then, so Paul basically, he appeals to the believers to give up caring about their own rank in the body of Christ, to serve one another, to be careful or of rivalry or anything like that, not to promote your own agenda. Sometimes in church, sometimes in family life, sometimes in marriage, we need to read these scriptures and say, I will stand last. I will be the last one. I will be the one. I'm trying my best always. You know, the usual thing in a household with kids is, you know, when there's something on the floor and I'm asking, whose is this? Please put it away. You know, what's the usual thing children will say? There's a real mom saying, it's not mine. Dit was nie ek gewees nie, okay? It's not mine. It's someone else. And usually, you know, when there's a mess on the floor, the person's dead. Okay, no one did it. Was it you? 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 No, it's only three children. Must be that little Casper the Spooky, you know, something like that. That person is always dead. So guys, I'm talking here, and I'm reading from Scripture, something that Paul wrote, and just hold that plumb line, and just be honest with ourselves. We need to be teachable and say, Holy Spirit, God, it's just not about a message, it's just not about church this morning. Where do I stand regarding these? And then verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. That's the English Standard Version. The NLT says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Okay? Now, we know the attitude Jesus had. Jesus was a servant. Jesus wasn't like, if there was something on the floor, Jesus would probably pick it up and say, I'm not keeping count in my head. It's always that, at children, Manfred, you probably have grandchildren, you know, that thing about who got more of the chocolate or who got more of the ice cream or something like that. But for Jesus, he was completely a servant, laying down his life, okay, just because of a place of love. You know, Jesus had this attitude to serve. And I have to remind you this morning that in life, in church, being a believer, we can choose our attitude. You can approach life expecting to be served, Or you can look for opportunities to serve others. Be conformed, not conformed to the world, to me, myself, and I, but to Christian values, Jesus values. You know, I remember last year there was an event at church, and it was a lot of work. And I remember we were really battling a lot to get volunteers to help us. Okay, that sounds like condemnation, something I don't want to do. But sometimes we have to say, Lord, I'm going to take my time, I'm going to take my effort, whether it's praying early in the morning or late at night or serving in the worship team or doing something that is totally uncomfortable, just to be in line with what Jesus did. There wasn't ministry hours in the Bible where Jesus said, hey, this is my off day or this is too early or too late, I'm not going to heal a blind person. Whatever Jesus did. He just did it out of love and compassion. And so should we. So when we are talking about these values, and Paul writes here in verse 5, it can also be translated, it says, think among yourselves the way Christ Jesus also thought. That's a thought that I want to leave with you right here at the end of the year. Right as we go into the new year, that we should have the mind of Christ. I gave you examples about the mind of the Spirit and the heavenly mind. Go and read it. Go and study it. But here Paul writes specifically about the mind of Christ. May we, as we end this year and go into the new year, regarding everything, raising our children, the way we love our husbands or wives, the way we serve in church, the way we work together, may we have this renewed, transformed mind, the mind of Christ. May the things that was so important to Jesus, may that be the things that is important to us. And as I said, I can just look back to my own life, the things that were important to me, the things I valued before I became a Christian. And then after that, by choice, I'm reading in the holiday times, I'm studying the Word of God, not because it's my job or anything like that, but because it's so rewarding. I love discovering something new. I love the way it fills me. If you're really a spiritful Christian and you love the Lord, I can challenge you. Pray, don't pray for 3 days or don't read the Word of God for 3 days. And then you send me an email about how you feel. Every Christian is supposed to feel the same. You're going to be irritated. You're going to be, what's all the words I can use? You're going to feel not complete. You're going to know you're doing something wrong in a sense. Not that you have to, but because we want to. Because we are renewed, we are transformed. Okay, and this is what Paul says, you must have the same mind or the same attitude that Jesus had. What does the plumb line say to you? I didn't brought a plumb line. I was not sure if this thing is straight, but if we hold it here, maybe you can exercise at your own house. Maybe it's not a friend that built your house or something. You can hold it somewhere next to the roof or the wall, and you can see, what does the plumb line say? But for us as spiritual people, we need to have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And we need to say, am I in line with what Paul is writing here? With the bigger picture of Scripture, the transformed life. And if you want to make me really angry, and I do believe there's a place or two where a Christian can be angry, Jesus wasn't happy when he saw all the money traders in the temple. If you want to make me angry, you must tell me that you can become a Christian, a newborn Christian, and stay the same. I simply don't believe it. Paul there on the Damascus Road, every one of us that has got a testimony, there's power in the gospel. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that you support Scripture. Okay. I'm reading a book of Sam Storms, The Beginner's Guide to Spiritual Gifts, and I just love the confession that he makes really early on in this book. You should read it. He says, now he's writing about spiritual gifts. He's in full-time ministry, a pastor. He says, there was a time when I could not have written this book. For the first 15 years of my ministry, I was a cessationist. Okay, cessationist, someone not believing that all the gifts of the Spirit, that it ceased in the first century and it's not for us in the here and the now. Okay, now he writes, and then I want to read a quote that he says a little bit later on. It says, it's important for you to know that I didn't reject cessationism because I witnessed a miracle, and then between brackets, I don't think I've got it up there, in between brackets, although some who knew me at the time would insist my theological shift was itself a miracle, I rejected cessationism because in the solitude and safety of my office, I became convinced that the Bible do not teach it. Okay? And it's by the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God that he came, and he writes there, and he says, obviously there was fear of man and being afraid of being on the spot and all those type of things. But he came to a place after 15 years in ministry. He said, I wasn't able to write this book on spiritual gifts. Why? Because I wasn't walking in that. I wasn't driving that car. I wasn't doing that job. Okay? And then he writes us a book on spiritual gifts and power in the church and all of that. And I just love it for people being so honest. You know, 15 years a pastor, not acknowledging the gifts of the Spirit. And it's not about cessationist or not. I want to hold it before all of us. Sometimes we need to ask God, and we need to look at the Word and the plumb line. And we need to say at the end of the year, Lord, what is this book that I need to write? What is this area in my life that I'm so afraid of that I seem to hide or cover up? We in solitude and by the conviction of the Holy Spirit, do I need to get to a place of believing a biblical truth? Maybe you need to start giving. Maybe you need to start tithing. Maybe you need to start loving. Maybe you need to start serving. Maybe you need, I don't know what. But I know in my own life, there's stuff that I put away there somewhere where it's safe. And sometimes I don't even want God to come there, because I don't want to do a 10-day fast or something like that, because I know I'll probably die. And I know I won't if it's really something that God wants me to do. He knows what I need to do, okay? So I don't want to put anything heavy on your shoulders this morning. But Paul wrote in higher grade to the church in Philippi having these values. And I wonder how what Sam's storm has before us. He could, because of transformed thinking, because of a renewing of his mind by the Holy Spirit, he could write that book where he can testify about something he's walking in. What is God asking of you this morning? Where does he want to challenge you? I want to encourage you to be open, to be teachable to what God. Maybe he wants to send you on a mission trip next year. Maybe he wants you to lead a small group. Maybe there's something where you say right now, I don't want to and I can't, but don't believe it's for now. But it's only you that says it, okay? And when you open that curtain and you allow the Holy Spirit and you read the Word of God, maybe it's something where you and I, me, myself, also need to come into line with what God wants to do in your life. I just want to end off, and it was so precious. You know, I believe as a church, we've grown a lot in the past 3 years in terms of counseling and the deliverance ministry with people like Peter and Leon Tron and Derek and Beryl Puffett being here. And my sister-in-law came to Christ just about 15 months ago. And while we were on holiday, you know, there was something my wife and I, well, for that matter, didn't really walk in, and that was the real deliverance ministry. You know, and while we were actually on holiday, there was an amazing opportunity, family members saying, I've got issues, I've got trouble, marriage, stuff like that. Will you please help me? And my wife and a relatively young sister in Christ had the privilege for the first time in their life to serve someone together, to counsel someone, to help someone. And there's an awesome testimony that she might maybe later on share. And it was something that was never possible before, but now it was. Why? Because of renewed hearts, renewed thinking about something that God was doing in both of their lives. Look at the plumb line. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you where we need to get in line with what He wants to do in our lives. Amen. Amen. Let us pray together. Father God, we worship you this morning, Father. We thank you, Lord God, that in Christ, Lord God, nothing is impossible. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord God. We thank you for 2018, Lord God. We thank you for the ups and the downs, Lord God, that you carried us through all of those, Lord. Sometimes we got a few bumps and bruises, Lord God. But if we are sitting here, Lord, we know, Lord, that you are faithful, that you are so much more in control, Lord, that we can ever imagine. Thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we can look at the biblical plumb line this morning, Lord. That we can, when you ask us, what do we see? That we will be able, in our mind's eye, to see that plumb line and to look at our own lives. Holy Spirit, thank you that you will help us in this. And then when we are honest and open, Lord, that you will guide us. That you will put your hand and your finger on those areas of our lives our lives need to come into line with the life of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for us as a church, as a local church, for every family here, for every marriage, Lord God, for every parent, Lord God, for every person where we work, Lord God, that we will have the mind of Christ, Lord God. That we will be Spirit-led people, Lord God, today, right here, right now, but especially in this new year, Lord God. Lord, that we will stay in step with the Spirit and what you want to do in our lives. That we won't be afraid of the crowds, Lord, and the people out there and what others might say, but that you will give us a godly boldness, Lord, in this new year. That we will have the mind of Christ. Holy Spirit, come and renew us. Come and renew us every hour, every day, every week to have the mind of Christ, to do heavenly thinking, to live by eternal values, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that you are so faithful. As we are here this morning, just because I love the Word and I love people, if you are here, I just have to give you an opportunity. If you are here this morning and you know that you are very far away from our Lord Jesus Christ, it's nothing about our church or anything like that, but if you know that you need to walk to Christ this morning, I would love to pray with you. If you, maybe you don't understand what I'm talking about when I say being born again or salvation, using words like that, maybe in normal language, just give your heart to Christ. If you are here this morning, there's nothing that I can say or want to say to manipulate you, but it's only the love of God that will draw you to the Father. Okay? Jesus Christ might have already been working in your heart. And if you are here this morning and you feel you just want to pray with someone in church, I would love to serve you this morning by praying with you and for you. If you are here this morning and there's really hard battles in your mind, maybe there's stuff that you can't, stuff of the past, stuff of your life, stuff that you've done or think or anything like that, and you battle to put those things to the past, if you really battle in some areas of your life to have the mind of Christ, I would just, as an other believer, I would just love to pray with you this morning. Take your hand and stand in the gap with you. Stand in faith that you will overcome by the Holy Spirit. If there's anything here this morning, maybe you see the plumb line this morning. Maybe you see stuff in your life that is out of control. Maybe you see things that make you really afraid about yourself. Maybe where you really fall short, where you really battle. Then as a brother in Christ, I would love to pray with you this morning. That's why we are here. That's why we are a church, to serve you, to be Christ's hand and feet. If you are here this morning, maybe while all eyes are closed, is there anyone in the church, anyone if you feel you need prayer? I would love to pray with you. Maybe can I just see a hand? If there's anyone here this morning and maybe right now your heart is really beating a bit faster, maybe you really feel afraid right now, maybe you're unsure, should you take this step? But if the Holy Spirit is convicting you, thank you for that hand. And I would love to pray with you. Is there any other hands, any other person that maybe just want to cry out this morning and say, please pray with me? And stand here with me. Can I just have one of the lady facilitators here with me for a moment, please? Thank you. Just come and stand here. All right, now you can just stand. Freddie, maybe you can lead us just in a song to worship. God knows our hearts. He knows what He's doing. Thanks. If you are here this morning and you know you need to pray about something, I would love to pray with you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. If you want to talk about something over a cup of coffee, we invite you. We would love to get to know you better. Otherwise, enjoy the last 2 days of this year. Spend time in the Word. We invite you to worship a last song with us. Otherwise, we'll see you next year. Be blessed. Stay safe. Travel safe. Looking forward to the new year. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.